I'm Agent Phil Coulson with the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
That's quite a mouthful.
I know. We're working on it.
Hello, howlers, and welcome to another episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cast. I am Colonel Chaos, and joining me once again is Andy, the Ant-Man Urquhart. How you doing, Agent?
He threw me off there. Hello, hello. I'm not too bad.
I was thinking, do I go with some witty repertoire or not? And I'm like, nah.
But yeah, no, I'm all good this week. How are you, Chip?
Good. Long time no speak. You and I spent way too much time together yesterday.
And I spent even more time with Ali after you went away.
Oh, Jesus.
We recorded another podcast after you
what
went
you
off.
What you record after that? Oh, yes. The new 42.
We recorded the 42 bonus pod, which will be available next week in the feed.
I have ideas, as I told you. While I was painting the master bathroom today. I told you I was going to try and do a voiceover for you.
Yep.
And I was kind of putting together a script in my head as I was painting.
Nice. So I look forward to hearing that.
So, it's kind of funny, but it ties into with what we're referencing.
Yeah.
But anyways, you and I did 42 level one yesterday with Allie.
Yep.
Eventually. And then I went and sucked down dinner in less than 15 minutes. And we got back on the mic and recorded Starling City Radio last night with Allie.
Yep, as well. And we discussed Arrow and Flash.
Flash. And Powers.
And Powers and
iZombie,
yeah.
I had a lot of fun with Allie. I haven't laughed that much in a while. Yeah. If you get a chance, please listen to the episode. We go off on some really weird tangents, and it was a good time. We were just busting them off on each other throughout the episode. and on DC and the shows as well.
Yep, and the episode is up already if you do want to listen to it. So it's out there. It's Dawn City Radio.
Did he use my recommendation for exit music?
I don't think so. He did it whilst I was talking to him, so I don't think he would have. I think he probably forgot by that point.
Probably. He's not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. I don't have to worry. He doesn't listen to this. We found that out last night.
Well, he doesn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so
yeah. And wasn't this show his idea, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast?
No, it was my idea.
Okay. All right. I thought he dragged you into it and then dragged me into it.
No,
and
I
then left us.
No, I dragged him and you into it, so okay. You can blame me.
Okay. So, please check out Starling City Radio this week. Andy and I make guest appearances, and of course, check out Andy's show 42 Level 1, where I make a guest appearance. And I think that's going to be the last one for a while, Andy, because I start the new job next week, so.
Yep. Back into the real world.
Back into the real world. Don't think I'm going to be able to sneak out early and do all that for a while.
Yeah, well, you've racked up a few guest appearances while you've been off, so you've got your quota.
I'm good until the next milestone episode, I guess. So, all right. no real, well, we very little news worth mentioning.
Yeah,
anything?
I mean, like we had to kind of dig to find this news, to be honest. But we had two little snippets. One of them is that some more set photos have come out from AKA Jessica Jones, which is the Netflix series that's currently filming. And we see in these set photos Carrie Ann Moss, who's playing a character called Harper, getting a little bit cozy with the actress Rachel Taylor, who plays Trish Walker, AKA Hellcat. So these are the first gay / lesbian characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
known.
The first known, yeah.
Known.
Yeah. I mean, there hasn't really been any hints about anyone else. Hawkeye, maybe. Hawkeye's maybe got a little bit. He's got a wee eye for Captain America there. And I suppose you never know about Coulson. He was quite fanatical about Captain America.
Oh, God, the Andy theories sometimes.
No, I'm only joking. Those, yeah. But yeah, these are the first confirmed ones in the cinematic universe. So it's good for diversity.
It is. I guess. I mean, I'm not sure it's a big deal anymore.
No.
10 years ago, it would have been shocking, but...
Yeah, no, it's not shocking. But it's just more sort of set photos coming out of them filming it. And so they must be getting along with the filming of it now. And I just can't wait for Daredevil.
So if they reveal after the Secret Wars that the She-Hulk is gay and a lesbian, then we know that Carrie Ann Moss is going to be the She-Hulk.
Yep. I would assume so. I hope she's not, because I would kind of prefer She-Hulk to be played by a younger and better actress than Carrie Ann Moss. I'm not a particularly big fan of hers. She's really got one character that she plays in every movie. Resting bitch face.
I thought we determined that Bitchface was in Arrow last night.
Yeah, no, do you know, I like Thea in Arrow, though. I don't like Carrie Ann Moss. Yeah. But yeah, so that's happening. Looks like the film has come along well.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really different show. Like, Daredevil is like a well-known character in Marvel because I mean, he did have the movie, and like Ben Affleck was bad. Well, Ben Affleck was kind of bad in it, and the script was terrible. But Daredevil's got quite a big name because of that movie. And, like, obviously the comics have been around for a long time and whatnot. Jessica Jones is a much more recent addition to the Marvel Universe. And she hasn't had a movie about her before and whatnot. So it could be kind of interesting to see how well that show performs in comparison to Daredevil.
Yeah, a lapsed Marvel fan, because as we know, I stopped reading for about 20 years. And going back now, I still have very little understanding of Jessica Jones, other than that she had a baby with Luke Cage.
Yeah, and what we'll maybe do is before the show comes out, we'll do like a sort of primer episode on Jessica Jones and just kind of read a few comic books, and we'll get everybody caught up on who Jessica Jones is.
All right.
If we can find the time.
Yeah, if we can find the time. And you know what? I've been lazy and painting my bathroom, which is taking forever. It's 90% done. Whether or not I have enough paint will be determined maybe after the show tonight. I think it's bigger than the woman thought it was. But anyways, you and I have been discussing this, and why don't we just bring it out to the listeners and maybe they can comment on Twitter, since I've been too lazy to put a poll up on Facebook or Twitter or something like that. Andy and I plan to cover the Daredevil series on Netflix.
Yep.
Are we going to do it on this feed, or are we going to claim that name and it separate?
It will all be on this. Okay. I don't want to divide our listener base. I want to make it easy for everyone to find everything. If people don't want to hear about Daredevil, then they don't have to listen to those episodes. But I'm sure that most people that watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are invested in the cinematic universe and will be interested to see what Daredevil's doing as part of it.
And I guess we could... we'll announce the name when we go live. We have a great name for those episodes, and they will be labeled accordingly.
Yep.
Now the question is, how do you guys want us to cover this? Do you want do you want 13 1-hour episodes? Somewhere between 4 and 6 2-hour episodes where we would cover 2 or 3 of the Daredevil episodes in one of ours. And how often do you want to? I think we're planning on something once a week until we finish them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different ways that we could cover it. We could do it like that, or we could do it in sort of 2 blocks with less of an emphasis on the plot and whatnot. But the listeners can let us know what they want us to do. And
I think we're somewhere between doing between 3 and 6 episodes. That's what we were planning on, unless we dragged it out for 13 weeks, which probably doesn't make any sense.
Unless there's a massive demand for it.
So hit us up at Cast of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Twitter, at Cast of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cast on Facebook, and let us know what you think as to how you want us to cover the Daredevil series. And then, depending on how we feel about that, we'll figure out what the hell we're going to do with Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
You know, what would have been awesome is if they waited until May. Because come May, we are taking a week off. after the season finale of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're taking a week off. Telling you now, Derek. it would have been great filler for the summer if it had come out in May or June.
Well, I mean, Jessica Jones might still come out in May or June.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so? It's definitely coming out this year.
I think it's fall.
Okay.
I think it's fall, unfortunately. If they're just filming now, I mean, Daredevil's been wrapped for a few months.
Yeah,
I suppose. They're just doing post.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing at the earliest we see Jessica Jones is August.
Okay.
Which would be great if it came out in August, because we're always looking for filler during the summer. But at this point, we're not going to wait until S.H.I.E.L.D. ends and then cover Daredevil, because everybody will have seen it by then.
Yep.
Maybe we do a post-mortem. And if we time it right, that'll work. As to, you know, what worked in Daredevil and what didn't. And we can use that for one of the weeks in late May. After our break. You realize we took a break at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only break. I mean, last year, you know, we were scrambling and we had weeks off here and there. We haven't done that this year.
Not at all.
And then we're doing Starling's, you know, you're on Starling City all the time. I've appeared twice now. We've been doing 42 Level 1 with me jumping on there a bunch. And the B team has never missed an episode in 5 years.
Yeah.
We have never missed a week. So we're taking a break in May.
Yeah.
So I at least get one night back. Yeah. All right. So let us know, guys. We want to know how you want us to cover Daredevil. I mean, do we just fold it in? I don't think we want to fold it in as a second part of this episode and like do a 2-hour thing.
No, I think we should definitely put them up as separate episodes.
Okay, so let us know what you think, and when the show gets closer and Andy and I figure things out a little bit, we'll let you know what we're doing. All right.
Yeah, we've got about two weeks to go before Daredevil comes out. So, and it is all dropping at once on the 10th of April. If you do want to watch it on Netflix,
yes.
And if you don't have Netflix, you can get a 30-day free trial for it and just watch Daredevil. And then whether or not you want to keep it on, use the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast code and you'll get a Marvel no price.
Yeah, you'll get a 0 months free.
Yeah.
By putting in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast.
Yeah. There was one other piece of news that we wanted to mention that you'd actually put up on the Facebook page.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we might as well do this now. This is S.H.I.E.L.D. related.
Yes.
I was going through the synopses for the upcoming episodes, and there is one, I believe it's episode 16. What are we on now?
That was episode 14 that we watched last night.
Okay, so two episodes from now is called Afterlife.
Yep.
And there's not much here, you know. There's Robert Gonzalez and the fake shield are still going to be around, and the Robert Gonzalez and the Hufflepuffs.
Yeah. Oh,
there we go. But anyways, as I was going through the cast list and the guest stars, one of the there was an actor named John Forrest with one R. We found out
with one R. Yeah.
The other, the one with two R's is dead.
Yep.
This one looks pretty living.
Yeah.
Anyways, he is going to be playing a character named Robbie.
Yes.
Now, about, I don't know, 9 months to a year. I think it was over the summer.
I think it was like September-ish, so six plus months ago.
There was a tweet by, and you actually found it.
Yeah, an actor called Franz Kranz.
Okay. And do you have that tweet handy?
No, I believe the tweet was deleted. However, okay. it did reference Speedball, as in Robbie Baldwin, and Mockingbird appearing in an episode of Something Together Soon. And he was kind of alluding to the fact that he would be playing him. Now, this Franz Kranz is not involved here by the looks of it. We do have this actor called John Forrest playing a character called Robbie. Now, we don't know anything more about this character called Robbie,
right?
But from extrapolating slightly from that tweet and from the fact of the way that the guy looks, because he looks pretty much like he could play a sort of teenage heartthrob type that Robbie Baldwin has been, I'm pretty sure that this is going to be Robbie Baldwin's introduction into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I believe that would be a fair... we're guessing here.
Yep.
We're guessing, but, you know, maybe Franz got a little presumptuous.
Yep.
And wrote something that he probably shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is no longer Robbie Baldwin.
Yep. And now it's John Forrest. But yeah, he definitely looks the part. If you look him up on IMDb, John Forrest with one R, you'll see what I mean. He looks like the sort of young Hollywood heartthrob type that I've always kind of associated Robbie Baldwin with, being a good-looking man. And he's certainly always been that way in the comics.
Yeah, the Fran Kranz looks like a dweeb. John Forrest? He makes a better Robbie Baldwin, although neither of them is blonde. But I mean, this guy at least looks a little younger.
Hmm. And he's got hair dye, you know. You can
just do that. I know, and that's just taking it probably, a little too literal, getting a little too picky. I don't care.
But yeah, it'll be cool to see him in there. And obviously, Robbie Baldwin is one of the members of the New Warriors.
Right.
Who were the ones that instigated the Civil War with the Stamford incident, with the explosion that was... what was the villain's name? Nitro, I think it was.
Yes, it was Nitro.
Yeah. Nitro exploded and basically killed a load of school kids.
Right.
And that was the incident that sort of sparked the Civil War. Whether or not we see that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., don't know.
I don't think it'll be...
No, maybe not. It won't be as
played
up as that.
It won't be a school.
Hopefully not, no.
Yeah, that's way too sensitive, at least here in the U.S. I mean, unfortunately, we have a lot of school-related shootings and massacres and things like that. One being close to my house, which, you know, I'm only... without traffic, it's 45 minutes to Stanford. To my house. Right. I've been to Stanford many times. Mm-hmm. so as far as I know, there are no craters currently in Stanford. You could blow up Stanford, though. You don't have to blow up the school. No. I mean, you could blow up Stanford. Mm-hmm. And I personally wouldn't miss it. But,
as long as there were no people in it.
Well, I mean, you need collateral losses, you know. Yep. I mean, unfortunately, you know, to spark the Civil War, blood needs to be spilled.
Yeah, and I mean these are all pretend, so it's okay.
Right.
It's just for entertainment value.
Did I know you have Bobby from Zen Studios on your show from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever ask her? I don't know if you knew about this, but apparently there was some concern over the Civil War table because came out about a month before the Sandy Hook massacre here in Connecticut.
All right. No, I never ever asked her about that.
I think Mel told me that there was some backlash.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't have thought there would be any backlash. I mean, there isn't. It's a pinball table, do you know what I mean? It's not like there's any graphic footage or anything like that on the pinball table.
Yeah, but they do reference the Stanford
incident.
Incident. So apparently, I guess there was a bit of concern.
Okay, but I mean, it's a comic book, and like they based the table on the comic book that it was the Civil War was based around, so. I feel that's an uncalled for backlash there. It's a pinball table.
Right.
It's not like it's hatred.
No, and I mean they weren't promoting it or anything. No. I mean, and that was what the storyline was.
Yeah. Oh well, but I could definitely see this being his introduction, and I would really like to see them tie into like the sort of reality TV superhero type thing. I think that would be a really cool route for Coulson and the team to have to deal with these young upstarts.
You know, this is going to be a long show. I can already tell. I watched the episode last night and then I watched it again before we recorded. Mm. But I was thinking through the episode while painting my bathroom. I had a lot of time to contemplate things. and I was thinking they're throwing in the last week or so, or the last couple of episodes, they're throwing a shitload of Avengers references in there more and more as we get closer to the Age of Ultron. Movie.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yep.
You know, you're hearing names dropped on a more frequent basis. And we're not going to see Steve, I'd be shocked if we ever saw Steve Rogers or Tony Stark show up on the show. Tony Stark less so because he actually wants to come on.
But the thing is that they could easily pop up because they could just film it as like it would take them 5 minutes to shoot one scene. Do you know what I mean? And that's all you would need to do it. And they could have easily done that while they're shooting the Avengers movies.
They can, all of that is possible, but the likelihood is meh. I want to see it. It'll be awesome if it happens, but you know, I'm not holding my breath for that. But it's just like, I think, you know, with the ratings being what they are, which are okay when you throw in DVR numbers, I checked last night, it was tied for a series low, at 1.5, we'll just get that out of the way now. But what Disney and Marvel and ABC can use this series as is basically a weekly ad for the Marvel Cinematic Movie Universe.
Yep.
You know, and it holds some value to the Marvel franchise just by being that, putting those names out there.
Yep. It keeps it ticking over and it's introducing like familiar characters like we've got now, like Mockingbird, and although some of the other ones have been lesser known characters, like people like Lance Hunter and things like that, and obviously now we've got Quake coming into it. So we're getting there with the characters and the references and whatnot. So I think the show's got legs, definitely. And I wouldn't say it's quite a weekly advert, but it's a sort of.
But it has that additional value added, to the series for Disney and Marvel as keeping, you know, their big blockbuster movies
Yeah, fresh in the mind of the general public, yeah.
And
even if people are just talking about it online and saying it was bad,
right,
it's still out there, and people are going Marvel, Marvel, Marvel.
Marvel 24/7. It's giving you a 3-year build-up for the Inhumans. Mm. You know, I saw an article at one point saying, "Does this new revelation guarantee Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. through 2018?" You know, because of the Inhuman thing. Mm. That'd be nice, but we'll see what happens. Last night, Captain America's name was dropped at least twice. Mm-hmm. The Hulk was thrown into the conversation.
Yep.
We don't know who's behind the quote unquote real S.H.I.E.L.D. I saw some theory saying that, you know, maybe Captain America is, since everybody thinks Nick Fury is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who actually is running S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that bugs me, and this is, I'm just realizing this now, is Talbot seems like an easy guy to confuse.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So he knows about Coulson S.H.I.E.L.D., but he doesn't know about the real S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It doesn't seem that way, and they said that they were being open.
Yeah, they're being open, but nobody knows about them as they hide on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, because I don't think that Coulson knows about them right now, so they can't be being that open.
No, Coulson doesn't know about them. Talbot, maybe he was out mowing his lawn when they had their press conference.
Oh, yeah.
4 wheels, 2 hands, and 1 wheel.
We'll get to that.
One steering wheel. But I mean, so, you know, it's S.H.I.E.L.D. logic again.
Mm.
This is the, you know, there's Coulson S.H.I.E.L.D. and the real S.H.I.E.L.D., but nobody knows about the real S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and not many people know about S.H.I.E.L.D. either.
Not many, but at least, you know, they're on the radar.
Mm, yep, at least they're on the military radar.
They're on the military radar. Hydra knows about Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
What the hell are these guys doing on the aircraft carrier?
They're just keeping quiet, building Quinjets.
All right. Let's get into the episode.
But yeah, let's get into the episode, because we'll discuss that more as we go along. So this is season 2, episode 14, which I think was called Love in the Time of Hydra.
Yes.
Which was a weird title, because there wasn't really very much Hydra in amongst this, apart from Bakshi.
I think they're throwing... Grant Ward and... 33 in as Hydra. Mm. There, you know, the Hydra crew or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Or the former Hydra crew.
Former Hydra.
Yeah. No, out for themselves.
Right.
But yeah, so let's get right into the episode. So we kicked off this week with Agent 33 and Ward eating at a diner. Agent 33 is not sure what to order. Ward, however, wants the pumpkin pancakes with pecan syrup for his dinner. The typical
Sounds
dinner
good.
Of a man of a man child. Sounds great to me as well, yeah.
We can't afford another tangent, but screw it. I actually went out this week and had bacon pancakes.
Nice.
Yes. Very nice.
Do you know, I once had pancakes with sausages and beans.
I'm not a sausage dude, so.
It was really good. Like, the sausages were chopped up and baked into the pancake. And, like, the beans were on top. It was fantastic. That was at Center Parks. I don't, you guys probably don't have Center Parks over there, but it's like a sort of resort type place that is in a forest and there's little cabins. But anyway, that's a tangent for a whole time.
I They had 30 different types of pancakes on the menu. At
wow.
This yeah.
I take it you'll be going back there.
We go there every once in a while.
Nice. But yeah, Ward says that he tried to be the meat and potatoes guy before, but it didn't work out for him. And it turns out that Agent 33 nursed Ward back to health after, obviously, he was shot by Sky several episodes ago now, because we've not seen him for a little while, so that's what they've been doing. They've been hiding and recuperating.
Mm-hmm.
And Agent 33 mentions that she was basically lost after Whitehall died. Her whole identity was kind of removed. A man at another booth stands up and makes the leave, and apparently that's their cue to shoot the place up. And we see Ward shooting out a camera, and Agent 33 points her gun at the guy that stands up. He sort of gives her his wallet, which has over $200 in it. I'd be like, yeah, I'll have that, and you can also come with me. But she's not interested in the money. She just wants him to fix her face, as obviously she still has sort of... she's still wearing the May mask, and it's kind of burned into her face. Yeah, so she wants this guy to fix her face. Meanwhile, over at SHIELD HQ, Simmons examines Skye's injuries from her quake last week, and Skye mentions that she tried to go Zen to keep her powers in check, and she ended up on the DL. And I had the exact same thought as Fitz. What, the down low? What do you mean? But no, she means the disabled list, and yeah, that makes more sense. Although, I don't know why you would call it the DL. I would say more like she's on the bench. She's
The disabled list is in football and baseball here.
Okay. That's why
when you're injured, you're actually in baseball. In baseball, it's the disabled list. In football, it's injured reserve.
Okay, that's also why Fitz didn't get that either.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm in the same boat as him. I had no idea like what she was talking about there. But yeah, Fitz kind of mentions that maybe it's just kind of growing pains that Skye's going through. And Skye reckons that he's just being supportive here. But he's like, no. I would never patronize you. And it is patronize, not patronize. it's the language. I like how Fitz says that. Every American show that I watch, everyone says patronize, and that annoys me. But yeah, and we say patronize over here.
And everybody's like, even my wife said, kind of sighed when he said that. And it's like, what are they? Why? What else did he? You know, was he the one being patronized? I'll use the Scottish version. Has he patronized somebody else? I don't know where that was coming from.
Yeah, I think it was just the way, like, that he was just saying that, like, she thought that he was just saying that to be supportive of her, and he didn't actually believe that himself. But he's like, no, that's, like, actually what I think. But he also mentions that maybe if she can control her powers, she could have Avengers-level powers, something like Captain America. Now, obviously, it's a different power set, but I get where he's coming from. And, I mean, she does have a good power that, if she can control it, could be used effectively in battle.
She could hook up with Vibe over in Starling City.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have any pills yet.
Not yet. Maybe they get together and that's how he gets them. Maybe it's like a disease, you know, like a sexually transmitted disease.
Maybe. I don't see Skye going for Vibe.
Vibe and Quake. That sounds like a really bad fan film.
But yeah, Simmons, however, reckons that due to the sort of unstable nature of Skye's powers, the Avengers equivalent of her would be the Hulk. And she's definitely not as powerful as the Hulk now, but Fitz mentions that Hulk saved the world last he checked. And then they go have a little bit of back and forth here, and Simmons reckons that Bruce Banner would cure himself if he was given the choice, which he probably would. But Fitz says that we should be thankful that he hasn't had the choice. And I mean,
and this is stressing Skye out.
Yeah, and just kind of stressing her out, and we start to see a little bit of rumbling going on, and they stop their bickering. And we do know, like, the Bruce Banner does have a certain amount of control over his change into the Hulk. Obviously, once he is the Hulk, he's pretty destructive. But he was at least constructively destructive at the end of the Avengers movie. He killed a lot of aliens.
Yeah.
Which was useful. He needed to do that.
Hulk had a lot of things to smash.
He did, yeah, including buildings and things, but no people. And he didn't eat anyone.
No.
But yeah, do you know, I would love to see Fitz and Simmons have like a sort of scientific battle of wits between themselves on like their various Avengers and a sort of who would win in a fight between type of conversation. I think that they could have a really interesting discussion around that. And I don't know if this was kind of alluding to that or whatnot, but I'd love to see them have that conversation.
Yeah, it could be a good nerd fight.
Yeah. And so Sky had this like little quake and they stopped bickering. And they say, oh, it's not about you, Sky. And she's like, well, I'm pretty sure it is. And yeah, it totally is. Meanwhile, Coulson is surprised that May agrees with Andrew's assessment to remove Sky from the equation. Like to remove her from S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't mean kill her by that. I mean take her away from S.H.I.E.L.D. Put her somewhere else. Coulson is not keen on this idea, but May kind of agrees with him. May kind of agrees with Andrew's point of view. Coulson tries to argue that they should keep Sky around. That would be the best thing for her. But May's pretty insistent that the best thing to do is to send her away. Coulson mentions Bahrain. Now I can't remember if we actually know what happened in Bahrain. Was that the time when she was the cavalry stuff?
Yeah, that's for some reason that's been brought up. Bahrain has been brought up in the last two episodes.
Yeah, so the details are still slightly vague around that as to who else was there, because they said Coulson said that this isn't Bahrain. We know who we're dealing with here, which implies that they didn't know who they were dealing with back in Bahrain.
Well, it's we're going to find out because, like I said, I had read an interview and I think they're going to do a Melinda May, quote unquote, origin episode in the coming weeks.
Okay, cool. So we might see the Bahrain incident happening then. Cool.
Yeah.
And because Andrew did mention it last week, didn't he?
Yes.
Right. Okay, cool. So we then see the kidnapped dude from the diner repairing Agent 33's face-changing nano-mask thing. She's now able to use it on the fly by blinking and closing her eyes in various combinations in order to transform her face into anyone whose face she scans. She tries to transform it into the face of this guy, it turns out to not be very convincing at all. It's easily the most feminine guy with a beard that I've ever seen. didn't look anything like the guy at all. I don't know if it was like if it was May with like sort of face paint and like a beard and stuff stuck on.
I
couldn't quite tell because it wasn't like the actress that plays Agent 33, so I couldn't tell.
So Andy, as I'm looking here, just to take you totally off track again.
Okay.
Episode 17, mm-hmm. the one after Robbie Baldwin's appearance, mm-hmm. is titled Melinda. Mm.
Okay, so I would assume we'll get the Bahrain stuff.
That's the tentative title. So yeah, I think that's where we're going to start seeing. That's probably where we get the Melinda May backstory.
Nice. So I will look forward to. I definitely look forward to seeing that because we don't know a lot about May's backstory other than that she has an ex-husband, and that she used to be called the Cavalry.
Don't call her the Cavalry.
Yeah, don't call her that. But yeah, so the effect with Agent 33's face mask thing would be a lot more effective if it was another woman's face that she was changing into. 33 then changes the mask back to being May's face, which is still stored in its memory. I don't know if he's a doctor or a technician or what he is, but he mentions that the mask could be useful for any S.H.I.E.L.D. or Hydra missions after Ward gives him a look. And apparently it can store up to 3 facial scans at any one time. And I thought that was a bit limiting. They should have installed a bigger hard drive in this thing. Only 3? I mean, come on.
Well, I agree with you there. I was like, what do you mean only 3?
Only 3? You're only 10. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
But yeah, so the mask apparently can't be removed. Obviously, it's been fused to her face by May electrocuting her with it during their May versus May fight. But it can be turned off. However, Agent 33 doesn't want to do this because she's badly scarred all down one side of her face. The technician doctor guy does say, well, you can be anyone you want now. And he does say that if you can find an old picture of Angel's Eye 3, then you could scan that and she could get her own face back. However, World is like, well, I've actually never seen her face. I don't know what she looks like. So maybe tricky for me to find a picture of her.
As soon as we get finished finalizing the contract for the actress to come back.
Yeah.
Right now we're saving money by having Melinda May and others play double duty.
Yep. But yeah, the technician guy says, oh, we all hate our true selves. And then Ward quips back, or we just wait for the right time to reveal the truth. Which I thought was a great little line from him. Playing the kind of...
He's a creepy dude.
He is a little bit, yeah. He's kind of gone from like hero to anti-hero to bad guy, and he's all over the shop at the moment.
He's kind of like a stalker psycho thing.
Yeah, and do you know what? Like, I know we've previously talked about him like being the Taskmaster, and I really hope they do something like that with him. Like throw him in as like somebody like that. That would be awesome. And we do know that he isn't in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic.
And as of yet.
We would assume that that's because he's already some character that is established in the Marvel Universe. Like, Sky isn't in the comic either, because she's already a character, Quake, that's in the comics already.
Right.
But yeah, so we then cut over to the real S.H.I.E.L.D. that we saw at the end of last week's episode, and we see Mac leading a handcuffed Lance Hunter through a S.H.I.E.L.D. base. To see that someone Hunter calls the Wizard. I think he was just joking there, like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, that was the reference.
Yeah, yeah. Who is actually a S.H.I.E.L.D. dude called Robert Gonzalez and three of his advisors. One of whom is called Tomas.
I read an article earlier today. Mm-hmm. The only one of those to have appeared in anything is the woman. Mm-hmm. And she was the one telling, she appeared in last year's episode after Hydra was revealed.
Oh, right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Telling them to turn.
Okay. But she was a loyal S.H.I.E.L.D. agent then.
Yes.
Oh, so was she the one that was in the S.H.I.E.L.D. base when Tripp and Simmons were there?
Maybe.
When Victoria Hand was kicking about?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, cool. And so Robert Gonzalez says, you must be Lance Hunter. And he replies, and you must be crazy. Hunter had some absolutely cracking lines in this. He calls them the Clown Academy. And he calls one of these sort of three advisors, Lady Thomas Jefferson.
He is pissed.
Yeah, he's totally pissed by the betrayal of, like, he's basically his best friend and his ex-wife. And not together, which is obviously the normal way it goes. But yeah, this new S.H.I.E.L.D. Wants its leaders to be held accountable to the people that they serve, as well as those who govern alongside them. Which would, to me, say that everybody knows who they are, and the government knows about them and whatnot. But Talbot's obviously in the dark, and Coulson didn't know about them, like we mentioned earlier, so...
Right.
Not quite sure what's going on there. So Gonzalez says that they founded S.H.I.E.L.D. to be transparent and not operate from the shadows, except they're hiding in a...
They need a new publicist, I think.
Yeah, they do. And he says that Fury kept too many secrets, and Hunter does agree with them there, and Gonzalez also says that Coulson is heading down the same path as Fury, which he kind of was. I kind of agree with that. Basically, they don't want Coulson to be in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. That is bad for them, as far as they can tell. However, Hunter kind of backs up Coulson here. He says, oh, he's not perfect. He chews with his mouth open and he hogs the mic on karaoke nights, but he's not really so bad.
Hunter had the best lines this episode.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he has had good lines all season, but in this episode, he's just cranking them out one after the other in this situation. Like, he obviously reacts to this, his anger, and takes it out in the form of witty puns.
Snark factor 10.
Yeah, fantastic he was. The real S.H.I.E.L.D., the Clown Academy, kind of disagrees with him, however.
And Hufflepuff.
And Hufflepuff, yeah. Hunter doesn't think that Bobby would agree to any of this, and just to prove him wrong, she walks in and sits down next to Mac. And he says to her, perhaps we could have discussed this, but without all of Hufflepuff looking on. He then says, indoctrinate me, indoctrinate away. And it turns out that Isabel Hartley, who's Xena's mom, saved Gonzalez from Hydra. He was not the first to be saved by her, but he may have been the last. And he puts, now he says a couple of really like interesting things here that I want to get into briefly. He says Hartley's death could have been avoided if Coulson hadn't been so relentless in his pursuit of alien tech. Now, that's not true, because Hartley's death was her own fault.
That's what my wife was saying tonight.
Yeah.
And she would assume that Hartley, if Hartley is part of the clown police here, Hartley was stealing the artifact to bring back to the clown patrol.
Yeah, either that or for them to dispose it, like take it to the, this, well, what was the, remember they launched rockets, was it Sandbox?
Yeah, the Sandbox or the Sandbox. Ice box or whatever, refrigerator. Or
oh, no, what? It's not.
The garbage disposal. Yeah,
it's not the fridge because the fridge.
The Cuisinart.
Fridge is gobbed. Fridge is fucked. Yeah. But it's all defrosted. But no, I think it was the Sandbox, and that was where they launched the rocket from. I think it could be. Oh, Slingshot. Slingshot, that's what it was.
Okay.
Sure, it was Slingshot. And that's what it was. They were launching, I can't remember what it was now. They launched something in a rocket up into the air. And that would be what I would assume that she'd be doing with this. And that's why she stole it. But it was her own fault. She should have just taken the box. She didn't follow Coulson's order. So it's not Coulson's fault. Like, Coulson told him to get the box and take the box. She didn't say, open the box, take the thing out and, like, play with it. No. Sealed in, mint in box. That's how he wanted it. And so she opened the box. And I would say that was either her own fault or these people's fault if they were ordering her to do that, if she was working for them. So you can't put the blame for her death on Coulson at all, I would say.
I agree. But yes. I guess because this was Coulson's mission and he put her, in contact with this device. Yeah, it's a warped, it's warped. Their perception of the events is a little warped.
Yeah, they're kind of twisting it for their own.
Yeah, exactly. Like anybody's going really, to do.
Yeah, yeah. And so he also mentions that Triplet's death and Reyna's transformation and Sky's change, and blames Coulson for all of these things. Blames Coulson and his search for the city as for all of these things. And he also says Coulson has changed since Fury injected him with the alien DNA. He says his behavior has grown increasingly troubling. Now, I would, again, disagree with that somewhat, because up until the point where they located the city, I would kind of agree. His behavior, like his carving and all that, was a bit troubling, and his sort of single-minded goal to find the city and things like that. That was a little bit troubling, but now that that's done with, that a line seems to have been drawn under that for Coulson, and he's pretty much back to normal being the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's not. There doesn't seem to be any alien after effects on him anymore at all.
None
whatsoever. Like, he seems pretty normal for, like, he seems like totally in character for Coulson, and he's just doing his job as the S.H.I.E.L.D. director. And yeah, he does have to keep some secrets from some of his team members. That's called compartmentalizing it. Like, Fury did it, and maybe he kept too many secrets, but you can't tell everybody everything.
Yeah, he's being the director. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of part of the job.
Yeah.
You know, people need to know things on a need-to-know basis. I've worked for companies where things are supposed to be transparent and open, and yeah, we see how that all works out.
So. Yeah. You tend to find out about things at the last minute when
yeah.
The last possible minute when you would need to know about them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say that Coulson's doing a reasonably good job as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the resources and whatnot that he's got. And I wouldn't say that his behavior has escalated in any way, shape, or form since they found the city at all. So I don't know if Bobby and Mac's been feeding back sort of false information to this guy and saying that, oh, Coulson's still carving and he's like going off and doing this and that. But I would say Coulson's pretty much on the level now. He does have plans, and
he does have machinations, but he's the director. He's not a field op. I mean, he is, because there's only like five of them. But he's running the show. And not everybody needs to know everything.
Yeah. And Hunter says that, well, they do have some good points, but why are they not just taking up with Coulson himself? And he said that, well, that's what Bobby and Mac have been doing. They've been gathering intel and evidence and basically investigating Coulson and the other S.H.I.E.L.D. team. And Bobby, who has been very quiet up until now, speaks up and agrees that Coulson has been compromised, which, again, I would totally disagree with. We do then cut over to see Coulson, who is... Now, I did pause at this point to work out what he was looking at. And he's looking through some files on his kind of Tony Stark-esque VR projection thingy. And now he's looking at a file on something called The Homestead, which I would assume is a S.H.I.E.L.D. base.
Right.
And he goes into some files on it, and he looks at the weapons and armaments and some of the like blueprints and layout of the place. And then somebody knocks at the door, and he locks it all up and puts it back in his little black box, which goes back down into his desk. Now, I don't know whether this is a S.H.I.E.L.D. base that's been compromised by Hydra. Hydra might still be in control of it, and he might be planning to take it back over. Like to go.
No, the homestead is where they take Sky.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh, right, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize it from the pictures that they were there. Okay. But yeah, so, okay, well... Okay, changing back on that then. If he's looking at the weapons and armaments and that, maybe he's just looking at the defenses and things in case somebody plans a raid on it. Or there might be something more untoward where he's planning to ditch Sky. I don't know if you kind of thought that from what happens. But yeah, so he's looking at this homestead thing. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
So he's looking at this homestead thing when a knock on the door comes. He puts the thing away and...
That's the toolbox he's putting away.
Yeah, the toolbox, sorry. Fury's toolbox. And it's Simmons at the door with a briefcase for him, which she says may have repercussions. Coulson says that it's his decision to make. Now, we don't know what this is. It's a bit cloak and dagger and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Coulson going to see Sky, who is playing Operation. Ankle bones are always the toughest, I agree. A game of nerves like this is probably not the best idea for Sky. You don't want to set off a quake from playing Operation. I mean, we've all been there getting frustrated with it and just thrown it away. She might...
Fuck this game!
Yeah. She might blow up the base by doing that, but yeah. Coulson is taking her for a ride, but you can't tell her where they're going. She kind of works out that she's old yeller. Just like, okay, is he going to put her down? But okay.
And the way he spoke was a bit foreboding.
See, I would have thought that if he didn't tell her to pack a bag. Because I mean,
well, even that, I mean,
if you're going to put someone down, you don't go, all right, pack a bag. You're like that's like you're going on a holiday for a few weeks, so you're going to Tahiti or something like that, you know?
You know? It's not like he handed her a shovel and said, dig a hole. Yeah. I'll explain it to you later.
But yeah, and she basically got that reference from Fitz, who apparently now wants a dog instead of a monkey. Is that's more a more realistic goal?
Yes, set a more realistic goal.
Yeah. We then cut over to Agent 33, who is trying on some new faces. It's faces of models from a magazine. As well, if you can change your face to anybody, why not be somebody really pretty?
True.
And well, you could infiltrate various places if you were a model and whatnot. So she's just trying on some new faces to see what she thinks. And Ward then pops in and he says that he's going to pick up a surprise for her. And she's kind of funny about it because apparently they just finished with the doctor, and I would assume that means he's probably dead.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be doctoring anymore.
Yeah, or doctor or technician or whatever he was.
Grant Ward with his euphemisms, which you're going to be getting into in a minute, it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Agent 33 is a bit of a wreck at this point, and she says that she's got nothing to give Ward in return for what he's doing. She just feels like a kind of empty vessel right now. You know, Ward needs to fill her up. But he says that that's not why he's doing this. He's got other motives in amongst this, which he hasn't revealed yet. We then cut back over to Coulson and Skye, who are taking a Quinjet to this unknown destination, and they eat red vines, I believe it was.
Twizzlers. Red licorice.
Okay. And they talk about their dads. Coulson mentions that he was stuck at home fixing that damn car with his dad while all his friends were out having fun. And Skye mentions that... Skye mentions about her dad and all the craziness that went on there. And she asks Coulson, was it a red 62 Corvette by any chance? And yes, it was. this is the car. The
origin of Lola.
The origin of Lola, yep. Coulson built it with his dad, which is quite nice.
Now, see, the only problem I have with that, and I mean, yes, it can happen. Mm-hmm. Last episode, he mentioned that his father died when he was 9. Mm-hmm. And he's forgotten more about him than he can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, building a car with your dad is probably, especially, but what adult wants their 9-year-old son getting in the way while they're revitalizing a car?
No, I can lend some credence to Colton's story here, because I have done this with my dad a little bit, because my dad likes to fix his own cars and stuff like that, and he's always done this like throughout my life.
But how old were you?
Oh, like from when I was probably like 7, 8, maybe. I would help him out here and there, like say if he would be under the car and I would pass him tools. Like, not like not knives or anything like that, like wrenches and screwdrivers and stuff, that sort of thing. Like, so I would assume that that's the kind of help that Coulson is talking about. And maybe he just means that he was making his dad tea and coffee to keep him going.
No, his dad was forced, his friends were outside playing and he was stuck helping his dad.
Yeah, his dad was hungry and he's like, go make me a sandwich. So I can stay under this car and keep working on it. But yeah, I would assume that he was just like kind of helping him out with bits and pieces. I wouldn't imagine he was doing anything too taxing. Because you wouldn't think he would be able to lift any engines or anything like that.
Right.
That sort of age. But yeah. So yeah, this is the origin of Lola. And Skye mentions that his dad, Coulson's dad, would be very proud because the car now flies. Coulson says, at her core, the car is still just a red 62 Corvette. And Skye is like, well, I'm the Corvette. I'm not. You're talking about me. And he's like, well, yeah. he still doesn't tell her where they're going, however. We then cut back over to Ward, who returns to this hotel room with some documents and clothes for himself and Agent 33. And Agent 33 has gone out of her way to make a nice romantic meal of the pancakes that he didn't get to eat earlier. And she's changed into a slutty Agent Skye with May's voice. And surely that is Ward's ultimate fantasy. Because he bumped uglies with May and he wanted to get on with Skye. So this is surely the ultimate package for Ward. You've got them both in one.
Now, we were trying to figure out, was that really Chloe Bennett?
Yeah, definitely was.
Okay, because it's like, is that Chloe? Or, I mean, because it was... She didn't look much like Chloe.
They kind of prettied her up a wee bit. And
prettied her up, and she had different hair, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
totally
just...
different hairstyle.
It was like, my wife, and she's usually good at that crap. Mm. She's like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, it was 100% Chloe Bennett. Okay. And you know, like this whole thing with like May playing this character and then Skye playing this character was really well done, and like both the actresses did a really good job of doing it. And it was kind of weird to see like May's voice coming out of Skye, but I think they pulled it off quite well, and it was quite believable. It wasn't so believable when they did someone else's voice later on, but we'll get to that. So she kind of tries to come on to him, basically. She's like, well, this is your, this is what you wanted. You were rescuing Skye and whatnot, and you were trying to pull her out, and you wanted to, like, Ward was kind of in love with her at one point, and she starts kissing him and whatnot, but he pushes her away because he doesn't like Skye anymore, because she shot him. And he's not that crazy. I would have waited till afterwards. And then be like,
oh, he says, hey, we can still bump uglies. Just pick a different face.
Yeah, you know, I would rather have the Skye face than the scarred face, but
yeah. Instead of Scarface, why don't you take Al Pacino's? Oh!
I wouldn't imagine he would want to.
You
want
fucking
to
the- cockroach!
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, so. But yeah,
you can
so
scream that, you know?
Yeah. That was a scene I do not want to see. But yeah, Agent 33 is kind of embarrassed by this.
After our talk last night of Arrow threesomes, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, so Agent 33 is kind of embarrassed by all this because she thought that if she looked like Sky, there's a chance that they could be together. And Walt says, well, not if you're... Maybe they can, but not if you're Sky or me. It has to be as you. Which is fair enough and quite decent of him, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But she mentions that who she was before is now gone.
He's a nice psycho.
Yeah, he's a nice psycho. He's a lovable rogue.
He's a lovable psycho.
Lovable psycho, yeah. He's like Dexter.
You know, he's all puppies and butterflies.
And murdering people.
And murder, yeah, there we go.
But yeah, so then over at the real
I want to go out on a pub crawl with him and Cal.
Oh, that'd be such a good night, yeah. Imagine how much blood there would be. But yeah, so we then
look, man, I'm just driving him around. I don't know shit.
Yeah. So we then see over at the real shield, Max Cover with Coulson is still mostly intact, so he's been sent back into Coulson's shield to mine more information. Ward, it turns out, he says that he's now well adjusted. I'd say he's a little bit unhinged, and he mentions he's talking to Agent 33 about how she can sort of get through this sort of difficult transitional period, and he tells her the story about his family, and he says that he expressed his feeling for his family, and everything was fine after that. Now, he killed his family, so I don't know if he's suggesting that she go and murder her family. But
yeah, he goes, you know, well, we got back together and we worked some things, you know, and we dug into the issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he have his brother,
dig a hole? Yeah.
Dig a hole?
Yep.
He
old yelled at his brother.
Yeah. All these euphemisms. And this is my wife was cracking up, and I was watching it. I actually watched this episode 2.5 times because I had started and then my wife came home and she wanted to watch. So we started over. And the scene is hilarious. Yep. And it just shows how far removed and how fucked up he is.
Yep. He is way fucked up. Like, I couldn't believe the things he was saying. I was like, and the way that Brett Dalton plays it is like, pretty much with a totally straight face as well, which was even better.
Which I mean, maybe psychopath is the wrong word. Sociopath?
Yeah, sociopath's probably closer to it.
So,
but yeah, he's pretty unhinged, I would say. So he says that if Agent 33 gets some closure, that will help her sort of find herself again. And he's got a suggestion for some closure for her. He's found out that Bakshi is under Talbot's guard, and they should get a face-to-face with him in order to get it all out and let him know how she really feels. And basically that's because it was Talbot that initially brought her, that kidnapped her and brought her into Whitehall's control.
You mean Bakshi?
Yeah, it was Bakshi that brought her under Whitehall's control, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then
you said Talbot. Now Bakshi
is under Talbot's
Talbot.
Guard.
Yeah.
Bakshi is under Talbot's guard.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, and then Ward then gives her a ring. I was like, what's he doing? It was very strange. But we immediately get the answer to that because we see a shot of Talbot's office where Mrs. Talbot apparently has a cold and can't find her ID. And now it's clear from her voice that this is Agent 33 in disguise. So I found it a kind of unconvincing voice for her. I could kind of believe Sky with May's voice a little bit, but this woman did not look as if she should have May's voice at all. So she's trying to convince this guard to let her through, basically. And we then see an awesome scene with Talbot in his office, meeting with one of his lieutenants, discussing ride-on lawnmowers, as you do when there's no bad guys to catch. He just standing around chit-chatting about lawnmowers. Two hands, four wheels, and one saddle it was.
Yes, there we go, one saddle.
And he then gets the call that his wife is here, And he says, well, it's a little bit early for Taco Tuesday. And he's clearly been watching the Lego movie.
Yeah, okay.
And
Taco Tuesday has become a thing since the Lego movie.
But yeah, he then pulls up the CCTV feed and he's like, he sees her. He sees it's her and he's like, yeah, okay, we'll send her up. Then cut back over to S.H.I.E.L.D. and Coulson and Skye arriving on the Quinjet at the safe house, which is a safe house that was built for people with powers. And it was apparently once used by none other than Captain America just after he was defrosted. Skye feels that she's been locked up like a werewolf during a full moon, which is a nice little reference to Buffy and Oz from Buffy.
Yeah.
I just watched that episode the other night. I'm watching back through Buffy just now. I just watched that episode and I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly what they did to Oz.
Or I actually was thinking more of Being Human.
Okay, yeah, but this is a Joss Whedon
enterprise. True. Okay, all right.
So, you know, it'll be a Buffy reference.
Yeah.
Go
with it.
Yeah, Coulson says to her, "Well, be careful if you go fishing because there is a laser fence around the perimeter. There's no escaping from this place. Just chill and be zen for a little bit, and we'll come back and get you when everything's okay." He says that Skye can basically use this time to sort of get a handle on her abilities, and Simmons has been working on some new gloves for Skye to sort of slightly inhibit Skye's powers a little bit. Which will dumb them down a little bit, but I would hope that they would make them effectively useful in the field. That's kind of what I would got. However, I wasn't quite sure about whether or not it was genuine based on the sort of interactions between Coulson and Simmons, whether this was actually like something to help Skye or something to put her down.
I would not trust anything made by Simmons for powered people at this point. I mean, she, you know, there's another psychopath in the waiting. You know, I'm sure they inhibit. I'm sure they don't enhance or do anything to help her with the powers. And he also mentions their side effects, but Simmons can go over those with you.
Yeah,
and like I was like, don't you would think that he would want to go over that with her while, you know, directly.
Yeah, or at least give her a heads up.
Yeah, saying, hey, here's some of the concerns. You can get into details about them with Simmons, but here's the high level view of them.
Yeah, and I thought, well, okay, like Simmons is going to call her later on in the episode and go, like, right, the side effects are this, this, and this. And I'd be like, okay, fair enough, but that didn't happen. Like, they just left it at that. And I was like, that's a bit harsh, you know? She's just sitting there going, right, what the fuck are the side effects of wearing these gloves? Should I wear the gloves? What are they going to do to me?
Yeah.
And Coulson just goes, well, yeah. Up to you. Which is a bit shit of him, to be honest, as a friend. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on what's going on with that, whether they're just keeping her away for safekeeping or if they're actually trying to put her down in some way. Or remove her powers or something like that.
Yeah, they're not old yellering her. We know that, but I wouldn't trust Simmons.
No.
And I think Coulson is trusting her too much. Mm. I don't think he realizes what a nut job she has become.
And she kind of played it down a lot in this episode. Like how much of a nut job she is. But in previous episodes, we've definitely seen her go along that.
The whole Captain America thing shows. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And Coulson does say, however, to Skye that he still trusts her and he gives her a big hug and whatnot.
I wouldn't trust, if I was Skye, I wouldn't trust Simmons to make me a sandwich.
Yeah, it could be laced with poison.
Yeah.
And you don't know what was in that sweetie either that Coulson gave her.
As long as he didn't get from Simmons, I'm sure it was fine.
Yeah. But we then see Agent 33 infiltrating Talbot's office, made up as his wife. She then changes her face to be a lady that she walks past. That I think it was like one of the generals or lieutenants or whatnot. Yeah. It's never really mentioned what rank she was. And she uses her to sort of infiltrate. and lock down the, well, get into the sort of security feeds and whatnot. We got to Talbot's office where Talbot's wife calls him. And apparently she's still in the car, stuck in traffic. Talbot takes about 2 seconds to work out what's going on and immediately orders the base locked down. He says, oh, it's that damn mask again. Because obviously he remembers from, it was quite a while ago now in terms of how many weeks ago it was, but an earlier episode in the season where someone was posing as him.
Right.
Which was pretty funny. I think, was it Bakshi that was posing as him?
Yes.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Because I couldn't remember, because I didn't think it was Agent 33, because it was a very convincing Talbot disguise. So we then see him walking down a corridor to go to the control room, and he gives some orders to a guard that just happens to be walking past to contact Coulson, and he's to tell him that the nano mask is in play, and the guard is clearly shifty. Like, I don't know if you noticed it, but I instantly knew that that guard Agent 33. Yeah. Like, and I don't know how he didn't tell that.
Because he's on a rampage.
Yeah. And he's thinking it's a woman or his wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of a feminine man.
Because he then storms into a room where all the female guards or employees have been rounded up. And he's going to figure out which one of them has the nano mask.
Yeah. but before we see him do that, we see Mac returning to the SHIELD HQ, the Coulson SHIELD HQ. You know, it's kind of confusing. We need to differentiate them now. And he's confronted by May about where he's been, because he's been away for a little while now. And he tells him that basically Hunter's on a binge and he's been stopping him getting into bar fights for the last few days. And May says, well, that's a bit of a problem because he didn't like request a leave of absence or anything like that. He's basically considered to be AWOL. And she kind of thinks she kind of hints that he might be capable of selling out SHIELD and secrets and whatnot. And Mac's like, no, he wouldn't do that. But yeah, May doesn't quite believe what Mac is saying here at all. And he also says that Bobby wasn't there when he left. And he mentions the whole two ships passing in the night sort of thing. I didn't get that at all. Like, I mean, if Hunter is like on a binge based on his breakup with Bobby, why would Bobby be there? Like, Bobby would be far removed from that.
Well, it's basically he was probably on his way back to SHIELD when she was on her way down hook up with Hunter.
Right, okay. And Mac says, oh, anything else? And May has an awesome line. She says, no, you've done enough already, which I thought was fantastic. And I kind of knew there that May was onto him.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, she's onto you, definitely. And I'm quite surprised that Mac didn't pick up on that, to be honest. Because she wasn't that subtle about the way she said that. So Mac then also updates Coulson on the phone of what's been going on, and Coulson has to leave Sky. He can't stick around to roast marshmallows with her, and he promises that they'll figure it all out. He gives a big hug. Talbot, meanwhile, gives the women this test, which was pretty funny. He asked them various questions, some of which were true, not true. And I thought the best one was when he said, when was the last time I called you by the correct name? And the woman's like, never, sir. Which I thought was brilliant, and it just shows you, like, Talbot is actually a really cool character. Like, I really like him.
Well, I mean, I liked Adrian Pazdar on a show before Heroes, a show called Prophet.
Okay.
It lasted for about, I think we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It lasted only about 4 to 6 episodes tops, and was canceled because it was one of the lowest rated shows in the history of television. But he was like this nut. He was kind of like a Bill Gates, really rich dude, or Steve Jobs type of guy. He came from nothing. He had all the glitz and glamour, on his public side, but when he went back home, it was like a giant apartment, and his bed was a cardboard box that he curled up in naked.
Okay, that's quite strange.
It was a weird show, and it was a weird character. And like I said, it only lasted 4 to 6 episodes tops, and it got pulled, but it had it was like, this is the, it was one of the best shows nobody ever watched. Mm. But I've always seen Adrian Pazdar as these like power character, you know, alpha male characters, to an extent, like when he was on Heroes and whatnot. So to see him playing this bumbling idiot, mm-hmm, is, you know, just absolutely fantastic and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, he's brilliant. And he plays it really well. Like, he's really good at playing this character. And so he gives them all this test, and he gets to the last woman in the line, and he's like, yeah, this is the one, this is the person that's wearing the mask. And he tries to pull the mask off the woman's face, and she's not wearing a mask. So he has to make his apologies to her, and I believe her name was Meredith.
Yes.
He has to apologize to her, because he's pretty embarrassed that he's made a sort of fuck up like that. And this Agent 33 is obviously still kicking about the base somewhere, and he doesn't know where she is, which is a little, he's got a bee in his bonnet about it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Ward has managed to kill a dude at the front entrance to the building, and he has gotten security clearance for them in order to go down and fetch Bakshi. Agent 33 meets him disguised as the guy who Talbot gave the orders to earlier on. And it is really off-putting with this kind of feminine-looking guy that has May's voice. It was very strange to see that.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was very strange. And yeah, so they go down to get Bakshi out from his cell. Bakshi's quite happy when it turns out that it's Agent 33. He says, oh, Agent 33, loyal to the very end. And then his expression drops completely when he sees Ward. Bakshi then tries this sort of compliance chat on Agent 33 again, and she punches him in the face, as you do.
That was great.
Yeah. Talbot and his assistant meet his wife walking down the corridor, and he orders her to put her face on the carpet, which is kind of kinky, as far as I'm concerned, but and she is kind of upset by this, as she even brought the little pork taquitos that he likes. And he's like, oh shit, this is my wife, actually. So he's gonna...
Hey, you know, he's justified.
Yeah, he's kind of justified. He's still going to be on the couch for the next couple of weeks, I think.
Yep. He's on the No Nookie planet, No Nookie.
Yep. We then see Bobby and Hunter discussing their situation and the least fun road trip of his life, where he was tied up in Mac's boot / trunk, whichever one you want to call it, depending on your locale. He's obviously repressing this memory of Arizona, and which I would imagine is some sort of a tryst that he had with Bobby. And he says he still can't listen to the Eagles without getting the chills. Which, fair enough. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Eagles personally, so I don't know if you are, Chip.
I enjoy the Eagles. I'm a big Joe Walsh fan, mm-hmm, and I've actually seen the Eagles once. And Joe Walsh and Glenn. I've seen Joe Walsh once, Don Henley solo, and Glenn Frey solo.
Hmm.
So, yeah. But, you know, I'm, what, 20 years older than you. So.
Yeah, true. My dad does like the Eagles, I'll say that.
They're a good band.
Yeah.
I was the late 80s, I was listening to a lot of Eagles.
Okay. So, yeah, they kind of discussed when they first met, and basically they first met when Bobby was sent to steal intel from Hunter, which is a kind of funny way to meet your wife.
Yeah, and my wife brought up, that she wants more of Hunter's backstory, because what type of intel did he have access to that she would have to steal for, we assume, S.H.I.E.L.D.? Mm-hmm. I said, well, he was a mercenary. She goes, well, what organization is going to trust a mercenary with intel?
Well, maybe before he was a mercenary, he was like a British MI5 agent or something like that,
Or worked for, was it Strike?
Or maybe he worked for Strike, or maybe he worked for Scotland Yard or the Strathclyde Police or something like that. He had some sort of intel that was
MI6.
Yeah, one of those, one of the British spy organizations. Yeah. He was 007, right? He had some intel. But yeah, so Bobby was trying to steal the intel from him, and he said, she says, oh, well, she made it worth his while. And he said, well, yeah, it was the time of his life. But it's probably not the best bedrock foundation for a marriage.
And I keep forgetting that they were actually married.
Yeah, I do as well.
I just think of them as friends with benefits, you know? It's like, no, that's right. They were married.
Yep. And Hunter says to her here that he basically wants to walk away from all this with her and leave it all behind and forget about it. However, she refuses to go. So he decides to leave, and she says that she won't try to
That would be an awesome mid-season fill-in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, their adventures.
Yeah, Bobby and Hunter's adventures when they were married.
Yeah, I'd imagine there's some stories to tell in amongst that. Yeah. But yeah, she says she won't try and stop him, but everyone else will. He then takes out the two guards guarding the door, and he makes his way through the base to an exit. And it turns out he's on a shield. Now, it's kind of it looks like an aircraft carrier, but if we think back to the first Avengers movie, the helicarrier looked like an air carrier, like a ship then as well, until it rose out the water and revealed its engines. So I reckon that's probably a helicarrier.
I wasn't sure. I mean, if it was a helicarrier, they would be able to pursue Hunter, you would assume.
Well, if he's managed with his little pod thing. But yeah, he was under the water. He was in a submersible.
Yeah, so can't you track it and land a Quinjet he's going to?
He turned off the GPS.
That's true.
They couldn't track him. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
How about infrared? Come on,
infrared. Yeah, or sonar. They could use sonar.
Exactly.
Maybe this helicarrier is an old helicarrier. That's what I'm kind of thinking. Because it wasn't one of the ones that one of the three ones from the Triskelion, because they were all destroyed in the Captain America movie.
I as we talked about on 42 Level 1, I saw the Lego helicarrier.
Yep.
It looks like an aircraft carrier.
It totally does, yeah. And it's
a little disappointing, I think. You know, I still want to build it, but.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of money to lay out.
Yeah, it's like. It's a fucking aircraft carrier.
Yeah. I still want it as well.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool. Too. But yeah. No, so he's on this shield. I reckon it's a helicarrier, but we don't see the helicarrier engines worn out because they would be under the water because it's in the sea. So, and it is in the dark and whatnot, and the CG and stuff is pretty decent. Not quite up to the Avengers and Captain America scratch, but it's pretty decent. It's believable enough. Now, the interesting thing I thought about the Quinjets that were on this, they're the new design Quinjets from the Avengers movie. See the Quinjet, the new Lego Quinjet? It's that Quinjet that was on this helicarrier and that we've seen in the Age of Ultron trailer.
Well, they're the new shield, so they get the new Quinjets.
Yeah, so it's kind of...
Because everybody knows about them.
Yeah, well, except Coulson and Talbot and everyone else in Hydra.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting, and it's going to be really interesting how they tie this into Age of Ultron going forward. So Hunter manages to escape in this little submersible pod thing, and he turns off the GPS, so they can't track him. We then see Coulson return to Shield HQ, and Fitz and Simmons discussing what was in the case that Simmons gave Coulson. And Simmons she doesn't tell Fitz what it was. She says that she just wants to fix Sky, which kind of implies that she doesn't want to kill her. She just wants to take away her powers. So I don't know if when Sky puts these gloves on, it will take her powers away or what will happen. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully we'll see that next week. Simmons is afraid. Fitz says that Simmons is afraid because of the changes to himself and Sky. And Mac overhears all this going on and goes away to report it to his superiors. In the real shield, which I don't count them as the real shield. I count Coulson as the real shield.
Why don't we just call him the fake shield?
The fake shield, yeah.
we can mock him.
Yeah. But yeah. Talbot then reports in Agent 33 and Ward's abduction of Bakshi and all that happened there to Coulson and May. Because obviously the dude that he gave the orders to do this to Coulson was not who he thought he was. And he mentions that the whole thing nearly cost him his marriage, and he's going to be up to his ears in edible arrangements, making things right for the next few weeks. And he also mentions that he lost two good men. Coulson gives him his condolences, and Talbot says, "Oh, tell me we'll get those sons of bitches." Which is was another great line from him. Coulson then has a little bit of chat to May, and he says he doesn't feel right about what he's done to Skye. And now he hasn't done anything particularly bad to her up to this point. He's just like left her in a secluded area where she can't hurt anyone, and hopefully she can't hurt herself as much because she'll be less stressed for her there. She can just chill out and be zen. So I reckon there must be something else going on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he wouldn't feel bad like this.
He didn't want her at the base because there's too much stress there. And this was a place to dump her, basically.
A safe place to dump her, where she can't be gotten to and she can't hurt anybody. And then May mentions that she felt this kind of same way after she left Andrew, which I didn't think we needed to know that. Like, you're not going to get back together with him, you know, like that's done. And they then mention that neither of them believe Mac's story about Hunter. So they're going to be looking into that next week. Mac reports into S.H.I.E.L.D. bosses about Skye and whatnot. And over at the real fake S.H.I.E.L.D. On the sort of helicarrier thing, Hunter escaped in this submersible pod, and they reveal that Coulson put Skye in hiding. And the Clown Academy, I think that's what you call them.
Yes.
The Clown S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy discusses how to proceed. And Robert Gonzalez basically hands the reins over to Bobby. And now, Gonzalez, I would have thought, he seems to be the guy that's in charge of this. But he says, no, this is Bobby's op. You decide what to do. And she says that she wants to remove Coulson and his team as a threat by going back in undercover in the team. One of the other guys has got a bit of a problem with this because Hunter will get to shore in 12 hours and he'll obviously alert Coulson that Bobby and Mac are spies for the Clown Academy. However, Bobby goes, yeah, I only need 6 hours to get the job done. He's like, okay, what's she going to do? Is she going to mother them all? I don't know. We then see Agent 33 turning off the mask and revealing her true face and her scars to Ward for the first time. And it turns out her name is... I didn't quite catch if it was Kira or Kara.
Carol.
Carol. It's very, very weird because it's kind of tricky to pick up on the accents. Kira, Kara, Carl. Yeah. They all sound very similar. It was not Carl. But Carol it was.
Yeah.
But it's not Carol Danvers. Don't worry.
No.
She then thanks Ward and they proceed to start torturing Bakshi, who they've got tied up watching some psychedelic images. They basically plan to brainwash him. He says, oh, if he obeys, will his compliance be rewarded? Well, it won't make a difference either way. Either way, I'm pretty sure he's dead. But yeah, that was the end of the episode. Finally.
Yeah, I don't know if they killed Bakshi. That would seem a little odd to me.
Oh, no. I don't think they killed him at this point. I think they're brainwashing him to use him for something. Like, the only feasible thing to do is like use him to get inside Hydra some way and then kill him after he's used his purpose up. So I think they're going to brainwash him and use him first and then kill him.
Okay. And you're right. Her name was Kara.
Kara, okay.
So.
But yeah, I mean, it's tricky to pick up on the accent sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially with names like that, that could be, could hear them as various things. But yeah, that was the end of the episode. Pretty decent episode overall.
Yeah, it was good. Moved things along. Revealed who the real S.H.I.E.L.D. is. I like the Talbot stuff.
Yep.
And I liked, I wasn't too thrilled with the Ward Agent 33 stuff, but I guess you got to start that storyline somewhere. So, and I'm sure it's going, you know, it's going to get ramped up in the weeks to come.
And I did like the fact that they showed very many, many faces on her already. Yep. So it's kind of interesting because, I mean, she could literally be anybody now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And that could be an awesome way to chuck in a cameo.
One of the S.H.I.E.L.D. groups I'm a member of on Facebook suggested, could she be Madame Mask?
Yeah.
And I just don't remember Madame Mask's powers.
She was.
But we don't have time because we are way over.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So, anyways, we did have one tweet.
Yes.
And once again, it was by Rennie. And I don't. Do I have it up here? Yeah, I do. If my computer will behave, there we go. So Rennie this week said, Hufflepuff, Lola's origin story, Rogers. I think she meant Rod. She says Roger after Defrost. I think Rogers after Defrost. Little things and Talbot made the ep today. New shield, not so much. Well, we're supposed to hate the new shield. I mean, Kirk Acevedo's character is a total asshole.
Mm-hmm.
My wife refers to Robert Gonzalez as Colonel Sanders.
Okay, yeah.
The guy from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a bunch of ex-SHIELD agents that basically have been kept in the dark by Coulson, and there was a power vacuum. Somebody backed them. Somebody gave them access to a bunch of old SHIELD assets, and you know they're up and running.
Yep.
So you know, as far as they know, you know they don't realize that Fury handed over the reins to Coulson. They don't know. They don't know much.
Yeah, because they all think Fury's dead, and like so does Mac, and so does Hunter and whatnot. I can't remember the list of people that knows that Fury's alive, but Coulson knows, and like Cap and Falcon knows, and Black Widow, and Maria Hill.
Right.
And aside from that, I can't remember if any of the other SHIELD agents actually like from Coulson's team know that Fury's still alive. I don't remember if they saw him at the end of last season. I don't think they did.
No. No, I don't think.
The Koenigs, they probably know.
Yes.
I would say that's a safe bet to think that they know. In fact, no, they definitely know. Actually, because they did mention that. No, I can't remember.
I'm sure some of the team
does know that Fury's alive, because I'm sure they've discussed it. But anyway, it was a good episode. I look forward to next week. Did you catch the scenes for next week, Chip?
Yeah, basically, Bobby steals the toolbox.
Mm, okay.
She gets caught by May. Looks like there's going to be a May Mockingbird cat fight.
Mm-hmm.
Coulson and a bunch of guys pull guns. I don't know if they pull them on Coulson or they're backing Coulson and pulling them on Mac.
Okay.
You know, as a quick, you know, he says, okay, time for you to come clean. There's an assault on the real Coulson's shield
mm-hmm.
Base by Bobby and the clown posse. And May gets a message to Sky. They're coming for you. Run. And you see helicopters with searchlights at the homestead.
Oh, nice. So,
what I assume is the reader is going to show up and basically transport her away.
Okay, cool. And that could possibly reunite her with her dad and whatnot as well.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to wrap it up there, Andy. Like I said, we're at about an hour and a half here.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. We are available every Friday night at 7 p.m. on allgames.com, or you can stream us on Stitcher or download the episode from iTunes. Andy, when you're not hanging out at the homestead playing Operation with Sky, where can people find you?
No, I'm not on this week. I'm going to be at the homestead with Sky playing Strip Operation. But yeah, no, you can find me.
You lucky dog.
I wish. But no, my wife doesn't listen to this. It's okay. But yeah, you can find me on 42 Level 1, which is a gaming podcast. We broadcast live every Tuesday.
Whose voice will she have?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Black Widow, maybe. The Wasp. The Wasp. But yeah, you can find me at 40 to Level 1, which is a gaming podcast. We broadcast live on allgames.com every Tuesday night, 4:30 Eastern, 9:30 Greenwich Mean Time, 1:30 Pacific. And you can find all our stuff over on 42level1.com.
And you can find me every Thursday night on allgames.com, 9 p.m. on the B-Team podcast. We talk games, we talk tech. We're talking some TV from time to time now. It's my chance to at least get a little bit of discussion in on the DC shows and Powers. So be sure to check us out. We will see you guys next week. And I don't care what your dad told you to do to help him fix your car. Whatever you do, don't touch Lola. Night, guys.